From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, May 31st, 2011. Every week, this podcast brings you the news that shapes the geospatial industry, location-based information technology, and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief today in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Today's topic is policy versus pragmatism. What is the impact of federal government policy on everyday lives of geospatial professionals and perhaps that of the average citizen? When does policy get real for the geospatial professional, especially in light of the new place-based initiatives offered by the Obama administration that would lean on the expertise of the geospatial technology community? We'll tackle that and more, but first a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Esri. You can now access ArcGIS on your Microsoft Windows Phone 7 device. Download the free app from the Zune Marketplace. For more information, visit esri.com/windowsphone.
Adina, let's start off with a few observations and facts. Last year, the Deepwater Horizon oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico was a major disaster in which geospatial technology was put to immediate use to get a common operational picture so that ships and recovery efforts could be managed in an efficient manner. Geoplatform.gov was this initiative that was stood up and had been in the works for some time, but kind of went from obscurity to stardom in a relatively short period of time. It was a technology platform that was incredibly useful, but I'm not sure it would have gotten much attention unless there was a tragedy that demanded the resources to make it useful. So what I'm essentially saying is that all the good works of policymakers to direct the initial startups of geoplatform.gov may have coincidentally gotten a nice shove given the disaster in the Gulf. And it made me question how much policy impacts other initiatives on an everyday basis. And I also want to make one other observation, which is that last week I attended a forum on place-based initiatives at the National Academy of Public Administration in Washington, D.C. And there were a number of policy makers who were speakers, including the GIOs of the FCC and the EPA, in addition to representatives from NGA, Mark Recker from the OGC, and HUD, Housing and Urban Development, as well as the person that actually wrote the memo by the White House on place-based initiatives, Xavier Briggs. So as a kind of a policy wonk at heart myself, I appreciated the discussion, but it made me question what impact policymakers have on things. You know, you and I have criticized the work of the FGDC in coordinating policy and initiatives that impact the work of geospatial technology community, and we question whether things get done when you have 30 agencies in one room. So, but what we have here, you know, out of the White House is they say, hey, this place-based initiative thing says, all right, now every new initiative that will impact the growth of communities like health and sustainability of the citizenry and the economic competitiveness, you better consider spatial extents and constraints of everything. And to me, this is huge. And my question is, when does the policy get real for the average geospatial technologist? It appears that it's getting very real, and some of the spotlight is now shines brightly on our profession. I just feel like there's a disconnect between policy and the guy who's actually working and, you know, using ArcGIS and GeoMedia and whatever. So, you know, what's your perspective? We have all these policies, and they're really, really important stuff, but how do they really impact our profession?
Well, you've got to remember that these policies are federal. So their impact is on those federal agencies. And whether or not that trickles down to the guy in your local planning office who's sitting in front of a desktop GIS doing his or her work is pretty unlikely. In fact, I think the vast majority of practitioners in geospatial, I'm making this up, but this is what I believe, are just not paying any attention to policy whatsoever. They are the classic, and we describe them often as heads down GIS practitioners. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're doing what their supervisor is saying. They're hopefully being good at it. They're continuing their education to be better at it. But their role in this broader local, county, state, federal system, most people are just not thinking that way. Is that fair?
Yeah, it is fair. And certainly there are a few organizations that try to make it much more connected. I feel like the NISGIC organization, the National Space and Geographic Information Council, is that go-between organization between the feds at the policy level and those that actually get the job done at the local and the state level. And I've always thought that NISGIC has got a really, really important role in making policy real.
I would agree. And unfortunately, most of the folks that I just described don't even know who NISGIC is, for better or worse. And let me take that one step further. This forum that you went to sounded like a really important and valuable thing, and that's why you made the choice to attend. Were there any other media outlets, geospatial or otherwise, there?
No. And it would have been good to have some writer from the Washington Post or maybe even a federal newsletter organization.
Or government technology or something.
Yeah, exactly, at this event to make it more widely. Because here's the guy in the room from OMB who wrote the memo, and he works for the guys at OMB. The big OMB director, I don't remember who that is now, whether it's Orsag I think it's another person. But these guys have major impact on what happens in the government, and it would have been good to have a media outlet there covering this.
Well, and that suggests to me that this kind of policy information and discussion is just not important enough, or word didn't get out, one of the two.
I want to bring something up that was said by Xavier Briggs, who was the guy who wrote the memo and works for OMB. He's on loan from MIT currently. And what he said was, in this memo, they wanted to bring the lens of place as a tool for budgetary reform. I thought that was an incredibly interesting way of framing the discussion. Again, from a high-level policy point of view, I think it takes some explanation. What is the lens of place? But from us in a geospatial context, this kind of like the light bulb went off. Oh my gosh, this is things that somebody who's working as a GIS professional must bring all of this information together for the policymaker, and that policymaker could be the mayor, for example, to say, look what's going on spatially here in our community. You need to do this and not that.
Right, and it sounds very much like the advocacy positions that are required for GIS to be successful, and the most vocal of those in recent years has been Governor Geringer, who works at ESRI, who basically spent a couple of years going around the ESRI community and explaining to our community how to advocate to the government for implementation of GIS. And here we have somebody in policy at some of the highest levels saying, yes, I get it, and I'm going to push it back to you, the doers, to say, yes, go and do this. We believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
right.
I am just not that optimistic that that is going to happen. The document itself, I think, is actually quite good, and it has some very specific statements about what to do and how to measure success. I think that's all good. But I really feel like unless there's the hammer that something is going to happen to you if you don't do this work, it's kind of going to get swept aside by all the other things that are going on.
Yeah, that's probably true. I also want to bring up something that Michael Byrne, the GIO of the FCC, said, and we used it as a quote of the day. It was very good to hear somebody in public service make this statement, but he was essentially saying that the time to market to get these products out there is too slow, and the data is too old. And for something this important that has a significant impact on the GDP of the country, it's almost unconscionable that we're reacting this slowly. So he gave me the impression that he's in a position to recognize that this is too important to only talk about at a policy level. We got to get this done at an operational level.
And I would imagine that most of the GIS professionals in the federal government would say, hear, hear. And then ask the follow-up question, which is, how do we do that?
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't that go back to what the whole idea of the FGGC is? They're supposed to be the guys that tell you how to get it done, to facilitate data sharing, interoperability standards, all of that stuff.
Yep, it comes full circle, and I don't think the analysis has been done, but maybe that's where some of that sort of blockage is happening. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, a lot of the things that the FGDC does are not the really fast things. When you work on something like standards and metadata standards and the key layers of the national map and what's going to be in them, that is never a fast process.
Right.
And
right.
I think that, and maybe that's one of the challenges, is that FGDC has never been in the fast business. It's always been in the thorough business, and don't get me wrong, there's a place for that. But maybe we need to have sort of a separate Skunkworks version, which is sort of the rapid prototype lab, and that gets things out, starts them up, much more like what happened with geoplatform.gov. And I think your description was quite accurate, that the documents and the vision were on the table, and there was an opportunity to jumpstart that by taking basically technology that was virtually complete and just plugging it in and giving an example of how that platform might work. Now, that has caused some misperception. Some people think that implementation that we saw that came out of the University of New Hampshire is what the final version of geoplatform.gov is going to look like, and that's really not the case. But it's that kind of quick response with up-to-date data and something that just works that we need to start with and then tweak it along the way. So in a sense, what we need is not the government slow motion version, but we need the Google get it out in beta version and then tweak it.
And hopefully that is a takeaway, certainly from this discussion. And it's good that we have people in places, I point to Michael Byrne, that seems to have the sense of urgency that's needed. Also the people out of EPA who stood up the geoplatform.gov, the urgency is needed when... The urgency is needed more times than just when it's urgent, I guess is my point, that we need a sense of urgency at all times, not just when there's a disaster. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Our sponsor, Esri, would like to remind you that there is a new release of Esri GeoPortal Server available. The latest version of this free and open source product enables the discovery and use of geospatial resources and includes a new and improved metadata editor. To learn more and to download, visit www.esri.com/geoportal. That's GEOPORTAL. We have a number of upcoming webinars from Directions. On June 2nd, Location Standards, How Do They Help Government, sponsored by the OGC, will be held at 2 p.m. Eastern. And then on June 16th, Exploring Google Earth Builder with the product team, sponsored by Google. We hope that you'll sign up for those. You can do so at directionsmag.com/webinars. If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, please do so in the comment box where this podcast is posted on Directions Magazine, or by writing to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Thanks again for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.